For whatever reason, there's a great many Catholics who I think feel a little bit left out. They feel a little bit outside the church. Maybe they feel like they're not welcome here. Maybe they feel that we don't want them here. How does Mother Church, how does she speak to her children who feel like they are on the outside looking in? Well, first, I'd say Mother Church does want you here, that's the way you feel. The Lord wants to gather His people around Him. He wants to nourish all His children. Like it or not, you belong here. You belong to us. Now remember, the way the Lord looks on us, we are His beloved sons and daughters. That, over everything else, is our true identity, to be a beloved son or daughter of God. And when we forget that, it's easy for something to creep in and try to replace that. Our gospel scene today is a very striking one. Notice how the tax collector, he goes and he prays his prayer and he speaks to himself, it says. Speaks to himself, not to God. He's speaking to himself. Oh God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, and so forth. Do we ever pray like that? Then on the other hand, we have the tax collector. Remember, now tax collectors were seen as traitors, right? They worked for the Romans. So a tax collector was pretty much seen as on the fringes of acceptable Jewish society. Whose prayer is sincere, though? Who is really speaking to God from the heart that is open? What is on the tax collector's heart? We don't really know. We don't give an explanation. It's likely that many people in the temple, if there were other people there, they probably were looking over and saying, what is he doing here? Look at that tax collector. Why is he amongst us? What's going on here? So we recognize there could have been that feeling for him to kind of not maybe feel comfortable being there. And yet his prayer is sincere. It's from the heart. He stands at a distance and does not raise his eyes to heaven, beats his breast, and says, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Yes, he was a sinner. Maybe he became a tax collector because it was easy. Maybe it kind of fell into his lap. We don't know. Maybe he has a large family to provide for, and this is one way to do it. Whatever the reason, his lifestyle was not really compatible with what was considered to be a holy life. Now, maybe after this scene, he leaves the temple and changes his life. Maybe he does, but maybe not. How often do we have something in our lives that we know we need to change? We want to change. If it is just a little easier, I would do it. If I was just a bit stronger, I could do it. We would leave this behind and change and get rid of it. But we find we can't. We've tried, and we just feel stuck. I've tried to be chaste, Lord, but I can't. I've tried to stop gambling, but I can't. I've tried to put God first in my life, and yet I just find that I can't quite do it. Whatever it is, we feel stuck. We feel trapped. We feel like we need this thing or this lifestyle, and we can't quite give it up. Have you had that experience before? I think these are often the kind of people that find themselves feeling a little bit on the outside of the church. Father, I want to be Catholic. I really do. But I'm just not very good at it. I oftentimes run into these kind of people, and I think they have these vices or these moral weaknesses that are public, that are very visible, on display. And they have shame, they have regret. They just feel like they are constantly being judged by the church and her members. And they get to the point where they might say, you know what? I've tried this. I've tried to be good. I've tried to do the right thing. And they still don't want me here. I can't change. I can't change myself, and I won't be accepted. And I'm tired of not matching up. I'm tired of not fitting in. The church won't accept me, and I can't change myself, so maybe I'll just go somewhere where people will accept me. And people will affirm who I am. Maybe I'm a sinner in the eyes of the church. But with these other people, I fit in. They don't judge me. They don't make me feel bad. I don't feel like I have to become something I'm not. I think that's often the experience, or maybe the mental train of thought, of those who are in the fringes of the church. We want them to be here, right? We want them to come to church. We want them to be part of the body. We also want them to change, though, don't we? To make that choice, to be deciding to live the faith more perfectly, more fully. It's an easy thing to expect. In some sense, it's good. It's a good desire for us to want that for them. It is true. But it may not be very encouraging for them, right? Come on, it's not that hard. Just do it, you know? We need to remember to love our brothers and sisters and those who are maybe having a hard time. Even if it's true that we don't love perhaps what they're doing or what their choices are, how does God see it, I wonder? Why does the Lord allow some of us to suffer more publicly? I think those who have a public and visible sin, which they battle against, can be a great sign to us. To watch someone struggle is hard, right? We don't like to watch them struggle, to sin, to fall again, to see them floundering in their battle against sin. It can be heartbreaking. But when they persistently strive to overcome their sins, and they keep at it, they keep reaching out and asking the Lord to heal them, it's also a very encouraging thing to watch. It should give us hope. Well, that guy, he didn't give up. I can do this. She's keep going. I can keep going too. I'm not going to give up. As a confessor, when someone is struggling with a serious and repeated sin, but when they are earnest in their desire to break from that sin, I'm so edified by that. It's very encouraging to me. I see them wanting to be free, a desire that God would heal them. And when they come week after week, for me, the feeling is, Lord, look at this soul. It wants to be healed. Please do not let them give in to discouragement. Help them persevere until you're good. In your good time, you do free them from this affliction. Because who of us stands in the church because of our own merits? None of us. We are the Pharisee if we think we are here on our own merits. So what do I say to those who are in the fringes? How do I see you? How does the church see you? You're my brother. You're my sister. Surely, just as God sees you as his beloved children, so must I see you. Have faith. Have faith that God is calling you and will give you sufficient grace to return to him. There is the reality, though. There is the reality that the prodigal son was away for a time, and while he was away, there was a certain separation from the father. What brings the father and the son back together? It's not merely the proximity of the son returning home. That's not enough. That in itself would not have been the cause of rejoicing. What causes the father to rejoice is that the son has repented. He has recognized his error. He has come back and asked for forgiveness. If we've sinned and we're unrepentant, whether it's private or public, we de facto have a barrier that needs to be removed before we can experience harmony with God and his church. And in fact, if we have that expectation that my sins ought to be condoned or accepted or a blind eye turned to them, I frustrate that communion with God. I keep it in place. I don't allow it to be overcome. Even if God wants it for me, I don't allow it. If the prodigal son doesn't repent, then his coming home is only part of the solution. The church doesn't expect that we are perfect. But there is the necessity that we need to repent of our sins if we would share in the rights and the responsibilities of being sons and daughters of God. Now, understandably, this process of repentance takes time very often for us, even years. As an individual battles within themselves and wrestles with their desires, their sins, their vices, the Lord wants to help them. But the church is here for you. She is here to offer you the grace, the sacramental aids of confession and Eucharist. If we truly are repentant and willing to abandon sin, even if we fall back time and time again, the church is here for you. So if you're on the periphery, He may be tempted to go somewhere else. That's true. Somewhere where you're not expected to change, where you can just be as you are, or continue with your vices and your sins, whether they're private or public. But the truth of the matter is, the church loves each of us too much. She loves us too much to leave us in our brokenness. Now, she doesn't condemn us for being broken. That's not the case. You are not hated or rejected for your sins or for your sinful tendencies. However, we will not stop trying to draw you away from those things. We will keep sticking our finger in there, trying to prod you into awareness that the Lord wants to heal that. He doesn't want that just to sit on your soul. He doesn't want you to just sit in that place of brokenness. He wants to heal you. So maybe you aren't in harmony with the church, but you still belong to us. And it is good that you are here with us. Whether we are a Pharisee or a tax collector, we need to be here. We need the Lord to heal us and present. And we need to present to him our hearts. And we need to have him come into that place and heal us of our sins.